We're going to be in Genesis chapter 8. Let's look at Genesis chapter 8. And by now, I hope you have realized that we've been studying all of the covenants throughout all the Bibles, about eight of them. And a covenant is agreement. That's how God communicates with man. Yes, we have His Word. We have a Bible. But you have to remember, Adam didn't have a Bible. Adam didn't have one. Noah didn't have a Bible. Abraham didn't have a Bible. Moses didn't have a Bible. Nobody in the Old Testament had a Bible other than, Moses was the first one that got the Ten Commandments written down on the two tablets of stone. That shows up in Exodus chapter number 20. But as far as a whole Bible like that, they didn't have one. They couldn't read their Bible every day. So God had to communicate with man by covenants, an agreement between two parties or more. And now when I said this is repetition, but repetition is the key to learning. So if you look at this, it looks like the Edenic covenant ended here. That's not true. Because why? You say, how do you know? Well, what did God say? Ladies, in sorrow, childbearing, I think that's still going on. Haven't ever experienced it, but I think that's right. So we're still under that. Men, you shall work by the sweat of your face. How many of y'all work today? How many of y'all sweat today? How many of y'all stayed in the air conditioning today? So that is still going on. And what we're going to see, the Noahic covenant, the rainbow, all of that is still in effect. So some of the covenants is conditional based upon, okay, mankind, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die, based upon what man does. And then there's other covenants like the covenant with the rainbow. It mattered not. God didn't give a condition upon man that I'll never flood this earth with water if you do this. He left that out. It wasn't a condition. He said, I'm making this promise to you between me and you, not based upon anything you'll ever do, and we're still under that covenant today. So some of these are still in continuation. Some of them are just overlap, and God picks back up. Now, what's something very interesting about this is, and this helps us study our Bible, at the end of the Edenic, at the end of the Edenic. Well, let me just say this. At the beginning of the Adamic, you'll see what happens. The fall of man. And then in Genesis chapter 3, we have the covenant with Abraham or Adam. Then you have the flood. We'll look at that in just a minute. The flood, Genesis chapter number 6. And then before Abraham's covenant, you have the Tower of Babel. A catastrophe always happens. And God starts dealing with man again. Now, let's look at all of that. With all of that being said, let's look at Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6 and what has brought all of this on. Matter of fact, I've got it up here for you. Let's see. Yeah. Verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I think we're still living that day. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, that word repented, we think of the word repented as somebody getting saved. They repented of their sin. God doesn't repent. He doesn't repent of sin. He has no sin to repent of. The word repent is a change of heart, mind, and attitude. God changed his heart, mind, and attitude toward man up on this earth because of the wickedness and the evil heart that he had. And then, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, watch, beast, and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah, stay in your seat. I know this ain't Sunday morning. All of that. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ain't that good? God looked upon the wickedness of man and says, hey, I've got to do something. I'm going to destroy this whole thing by water. And Noah, you found grace in my eyes, and I want you to preach. Noah preached for 120 years. 120 years as he was building this boat. And nobody, now how would this make you feel? You preached for 120 years, and the only people that got on the ark was you, your wife, your three sons, and their wives. Eight people. Isn't that something? That's how wicked that day was. You think about today. Used to, and I don't want to get tied up because I got a lot of material to cover, but used to, y'all remember the old revival days where we have revival and 25 people get saved, 10, 100 people got saved or whatever. You don't hear about that anymore. Why? The more wicked this world gets, the less people come to the saving knowledge and grace of God. It's sad, but the more we carry on, the less the gospel is, you know. It's an amazing thing. Now, so Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm not going to read all of chapter 6. You know what happened. The flood comes. You have details of the flood, how many animals you're supposed to take on the ark. Here's something that you might want to remember. In our Sunday school when we was growing up, we always was told that it was only two by two, you know, two elephants and two kangaroos and, you know, a male and a female and all of that. But actually, of the clean animals, there were seven pairs of the clean and one pair of the unclean. Now, you say, what's the difference in it? Well, a pig is considered unclean, even though it sure is good eating. clean animals, unclean animals. And so that's how God determined that. You say, well, why did he need seven pair of clean? Well, number one, food. Noah. Noah, they didn't eat unclean, so they had to have food, and then, that kind of thing. So that was why you had to have seven pair of every clean animal, and so on and so forth. And that's always been interesting to me. Now, then you got chapter 7. The Lord said, Noah, come thou, all thy house, and the ark, and so on and so forth. Then, in chapter number 8, we actually have the start of the covenant, the agreement between God and Noah. It didn't mean that the Abrahamic covenant ended. We've already dealt with that. It didn't mean the Edenic covenant had ended. It's just God adding another agreement now that we've got the flood. This whole earth, you say, there are people that believe, well, it was just a local flood. It wasn't a worldwide flood, it was just a local flood. Well, again, I'm from the country. I don't have much education, but I do know how to read. But if it was raining just locally, why didn't Noah and his family just move to where it wasn't raining? How dumb is that? It wasn't a local flood. It was a worldwide flood. Now, here I'm going to show you something real interesting. Just in passing, we got to hurry, but I want to show you this. This tree right here that's on your screen is the oldest tree in the world. It's found in Nevada. It's called a Great Basin Bristlecone. It's found in Great Basin National Park in Nevada. This tree, oldest tree in the world, is roughly, they are guessing, but they say it's roughly about 4,500 years old. Okay? Now let's do some thinking. Y'all ready? From Christ to where we are now is what? Okay? The flood happened about 2,500 years before Christ, B.C., before Christ. That's how long ago, if our calendar is right, the flood was. 4,521 years ago was the flood. And the oldest tree known in the world is estimated to be 4,500 years old. Why ain't there one any older? Because the flood happened. You wondered about your Bible? There's not a human being on this earth that can talk me out of not believing that. There's too much in there. You say, I mean, how's that? The evolutionist, where are you? Where are you that can find a tree older than 4,500 years old? Isn't that odd? Anyway, well, that didn't impress you too much. Well, it did me. Now, look at Genesis chapter number 9 for a second. We're going to go back to 8, but I'll show you something in 9. Look at 9, and I didn't put this on the screen because there's too many verses. In 9:9, and I, behold, I establish my covenant. Okay? Verse 11, I will establish my covenant. Verse 12, and God said, this is the token of the covenant. Verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant. Verse 15, and I will remember my covenant. Verse 16, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant. Verse 17, and God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant. In chapter number 9, you know how many times covenant is mentioned? 7 times. Isn't that odd? 7, divine complete. 7 is God's perfect number. Now, let's look at Genesis 9, and let's look. Now, you remember how uncomfortable it got in the room, especially when last time we were talking about how God, and you'd be surprised at some of the comments on the internet, people that watch our Wednesday night Bible study, and they watch because they like this in-depth stuff until you get to where, you know, the man and the woman and it not, you know, not being equal. Everybody's like, oh my God. Because we watch too much TV. It does not mean value. A man and a woman ain't the same. I don't care where you're at. It ain't equal. Now, when you hear that, people hear it on the internet, it's like, I'm calling CNN. I'm going to send them this clip. But a ball peen hammer and a vase are not equal. They have two different qualities or multiple qualities, and they do two totally different things. Now, tonight we're going to get into something, and I may say some stuff, but I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says, all this kind of stuff, and you just, you know, people, we watch too much television and don't read enough Bible. And that's why our thinking is backward, because we watch television, we say, oh, that's the way it is. And then we read the Bible, it's like, that just don't sound right. Okay, look at Genesis chapter number 8. And let's look at verse 20, is where it started. Noah and his family, 8 people, get off the ark in Genesis chapter number 8. It's an amazing thing. Don't have time to go over numerology. 8 people. 8 is the number of new beginning. God's number of new beginning. 8 people get off the ark in Genesis chapter 8. That Bible, not another like it. Verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast, look at there, and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Got to have some clean animals to offer to the Lord when you get off. There we go. That's why you had to have 7 pairs. Verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, here's a promise, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. That's still true today. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. Notice, he said, I'll never do it again by water as I've done. Verse 22, while the earth remaineth. The earth's still here, right? Now, he's going to do it again and destroy everything. Now, we'll be in heaven by then, but he's going to destroy everything, not by water, because he's got a covenant. He's got a promise. He promised Noah, he said, I'll never do it again. He's not going to do it again. He'll destroy the whole earth. While the earth remaineth, he'll never destroy the earth. But there comes a time at the end, 1,000-year millennial reign, he'll destroy the whole thing by fire. Not by water, because he keeps his promise. Now watch this. Here's something new. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, the day and night shall not cease. Now, do y'all remember this? People, when you read this, sometimes we read over and don't, you know, think anything about it. And that's why we have Wednesday night Bible study. Garden of Eden. Remember I told you, greenhouse effect. They didn't have spring, summer, winter, fall, cold, hot. It was a greenhouse effect. The temperature was perfect all the time. You got into the Adamic covenant. Still, there's a curse on the earth now. But there's still no summer, winter, spring, fall. Now that the flood has happened, I can get into a lot of scientific stuff, but you would be bored with all of that. The weight of all the water upon this earth. Now the earth starts tilting on the axis and starts rotating around the sun. Now we have seed time and harvest. When do you plant seed? Spring. Harvest, fall. Summer, winter. Now we got four seasons. And we didn't have four seasons before Genesis chapter number 8. And that's something. So these are these covenants. God says, okay, now you're fixed to have four. You're going to wake up, Noah, one of these days it's going to be cold outside. You'll wake up, you'll be burning up. It's hot outside. Why? Because the weight of that water tilted that earth, and now it's starting to rotate around the sun. And now you've got, when we're further away from the sun, we got winter. When we're closer to the sun, we got summer. Remember that in science class? Seed time harvest, that's spring. Harvest, fall. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Then he goes in chapter number 9 and continues his promises. What's Noah supposed to do? God blessed Noah, verse 1, and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Same thing he told Adam and Eve. Replenish, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And can I say, without beating a dead horse, there ain't but one way to do that. And verse 2, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon fowl of the air and upon everything that moveth upon the earth, upon the fish of the sea, fishes of the sea, and to their hand are they delivered. All right? Not only are you to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, now you are to continue and have dominion over every living creature. So that does away with your whale lovers and your tree huggers and your... Man is over creation under that covenant. You say, well, I don't want to kill Bambi. Well, if you kill Bambi to feed your family, God says, okay, you've got dominion over it. But now just to kill him, just that's wrong. I ain't got time to get into that. Now, verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Oh, wait a minute. Here's something new. Because everybody under the Edenic covenant and the Abrahamic covenant, guess what? They were vegetarians, right? Even the animals were vegetarians. Well, now he says, hey, look here. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. You know what God says? God says, y'all remember how green herbs that were meat? Now you can eat meat. I mean, y'all ought to be throwing a songbook right now. But here's a condition. Watch this. Continue reading. Verse 4. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Watch. You can eat meat, but you cannot eat or drink the blood. That meat, when you kill it, you have to dress it, drain the blood out. Do not. You say, what's the big deal? What is the big deal with blood and meat? Have you ever noticed people that drink blood, people that sacrifice animals, vampires, blood sucking, that blood has something to do. Did you realize when Eve ate of that fruit and gave to her husband, your blood got corrupted? And everybody that does that today, vampire, now I'm not saying vampires are real. I'm saying the television, how they promote all of that. And what was it, the Addams Family? What I remember growing up watching that. Man, they, you know, blood. It always has something to do with evil spirits. You remember out in the, especially around October and Halloween and all of that, and we watch all these scary movies, and it's always a cornfield. I don't know why it's always a cornfield, but they're out in the middle, and they got this little out in the middle of it. I've hated cornfields, man. I grew up watching Children of the Corn, and that scared me silly. One time my car, I was a teenager, my car broke down in front of a cornfield. Man, I was so scared. I said, Lord, there's something coming out of this corn now, I'm telling you. But it's something about they would always hew out a place there, and then they would sacrifice something and drink the blood. I'm not trying to be gross. I'm trying to give you the, God says, don't do that, because there's something evil about it. You can eat meat, but make sure you get that blood out. So all of those that you eat that rare, I like mine medium, all right? Medium, that's about as far as I can go. All right. But there is something, too, about that blood. Okay, let's get in. Oh, here we go. Let's look at this. Y'all ready for this? I don't know. Verse 5. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. You know what? No capital punishment. No capital punishment. How do you know there wasn't any capital punishment in Genesis? Genesis 4, Cain killed his brother Abel in cold blood. Now, God punished him, but didn't take his life, let him live. No capital punishment. Genesis 9, capital punishment is instituted. Man's life for man's life. Now, again, when you start reading the Bible and you watch television, television says, oh, that's humane, you know, it's inhumane, all that kind of stuff. Now, capital punishment, you say, well, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. Well, guess what? I got some in the New Testament, too. To prove that that covenant is still in effect today. And it's found in Romans 13. Hold your place, and I'm going to go to Romans 13. If you just want to sit there and listen, I'll read it to you. But now, when you start talking about this kind of stuff, people, you know, I'm not talking about y'all, because y'all have heard me before. But people that watch, they're like, man, I just don't like that plain talk. Well, you're used to liberal media talk. Love your poodle and kiss your neighbor and rake everybody's yard and God will let you into heaven. That's the garbage you hear on television. Romans 13. Let every soul be subject, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, what that means, very quickly, because I don't have a lot of time. people that are in authority, judges, sheriffs, law enforcement, those, they're ordained. That position is ordained of God to keep, it's called human government. Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Guess what? We have a law in the books. Thou shalt not kill, right? Thou shalt not steal. Ten Commandments, started in Moses' day under the Mosaic covenant. Thou shalt not steal today. It still carries on today. God has appointed those to keep those laws. That doesn't mean every law that is passed is right. The positions of authority, all of that, is ordained of God. That's the way he designed. Even in the Old Testament, the book of Judges, he set up judges to rule over the people and make sure they go by. Now, what our judges and all that's supposed to be doing today is making sure people go by God's law. It's a little different now. All right, verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinances of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. We wouldn't have all the crime that we got today if there were strict, stiff punishments. For rulers, verse 3, are not a terror of good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. People, you know, they, again, I don't have time for all this, but it's just my mind runs wild. People fussing and carrying on. The police is harassing me and all this. Do what you're supposed to do. I've never had any trouble with them. Well, other than speeding. And guess what? If I was doing right then, I'd have never saw one. That's what, if you're doing good, you will have it. You'll be praised. Wow. See, people, you don't hear Romans 13 read on TV. Verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. That doesn't mean, hey, we've got crooked judges. We have crooked sheriffs. We have crooked law enforcement. I know all of that. That's a blanket statement. They're supposed to do right as well. And if they're doing right, they're ministers of God for the good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. What do you do with a sword? You don't slap anybody on the hand with a sword. What do you do with a sword? For he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's Romans 13. That's the New Testament. That's still a part of that covenant. Now, I know we get into all of this. Well, you know, there's people in jail that, you know, come to find out there was new DNA evidence and they did, you know, they were in there false accused. I know that happens all the time. But when things are done right, and the evidence is beyond any reasonable doubt, then God says that's okay to do. And you know what people say? I've debated this subject used to when I would be on the Frankie Light Show in Jackson. People would call in, and we'd get on this subject. And I would get on this capital punishment. People call in, say capital punishment. And somebody, you know what the famous one was? Thou shalt not kill! Thou shalt not kill! Like that's the only verse you know. If you don't know more verses than that, don't call me. Did God approve David to kill Goliath? Because he was a minister of God avenging evil. Thou shalt not kill is apples, and David killing Goliath is oranges. They don't compare. So, anyway, hallelujah. I told you it gets a little hairy there. But anyway, let's go back to Genesis chapter number 9. All right, replenish the earth, seed time and harvest. We got four seasons now. Eat meat, no blood, capital punishment. And then we got verse, oh, let's see. Where's the rainbow? Let's see. And God said, verse 17 of 9, God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and you, all flesh that is upon the earth, and so on and so forth. And he goes into that rainbow. We've preached about that recently. You remember that. Verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a for token of a covenant between me and the earth. Not only did he make a covenant with Noah, he made a covenant with the earth. He promised the earth. He said, I won't destroy you again by water. And I'll put a rainbow every now and then just everybody to remember that. Isn't that good? Okay, now look at verse 18 of 9. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. Okay. All right. Here's something we need to remember. We always say, we all go back to Adam and Eve, right? And we do. But ultimately, we go back to those three boys. The whole earth was destroyed. You've got Adam, everything's all, you got Noah, you got everything started over, eight people, new beginning, Genesis chapter 8, eight people get off the ark, start a new beginning in a new world. God starts giving them all of these things, these commandments, or not commandments, but these covenants, hey, the agreements, here we go, rainbow, replenish the earth, the whole nine yards, you got it. And then he says, my three boys, eight people, Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. That's eight people. Get off the ark. Every nationality, every race. I swear it gets a little hairy. Every race comes from one of those three boys. Shem, Ham, Japheth. There is no other. Those three boys. Now, have we mixed it all up? And yes, there's no telling what's in our blood, you know. But you can trace back to those three boys. Now, Noah had three sons. Japheth had seven boys, and he populated Europe and Asia. Ham had four boys, Southwest Asia, Canaan, and Africa. Shem had five boys, and the Middle East and the Shemites. Now, Shemites is the Jews. They're called Shemites. Of course, you know where they went. Now, there's more than just Jews in Shem. I'll show you something in just a minute. Very interesting. You got the American Indians that are in Shem, the line of Shem. Now, you say, European. We're from Japheth. Europe, you know, Asia. Basically what they say, the white man, the black man, and the brown. A Jew. Jesus came from Shem. People say, well, what did Jesus look like? Well, he was olive, that olive brown color. Now, we say white, but there ain't a white person in here. That's white. If you're that color, we're calling the morgue. All right. Now, here are where they went. Yours is a little clearer than mine. Back there, that screen is messed up for some reason. Japheth. Now, all of this is in Genesis 10. You can read it. I'm fast. I'm giving the Cliff Note version, okay? Japheth. went to Europe, populated there. Ham, this is after the flood. Let me get my little pointer here. Let me see if this, yeah. James got me this, and it still works. All right, you see that little triangle? That's basically where, now you see how my hand's shaking? I had one of them caffeine things before service. So I'm like this. Y'all see that? That is where the ark landed. And then here is the Tower of Babel. We'll get to that in just a minute. And that's where everybody separated to. Ham went south. Japheth went north. And Shem went east. And that's where they basically, that's where all your nationalities come from. Now, what was I going to tell you about that? Oh, here's something interesting. You ready? You're going to love this. Oh, you're still in verse chapter 9. Look at verse 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman. Now, a husbandman is a farmer or something. What's some of your Bibles say as far as the definition? Huh? Farmer, somebody that's over, you know, it's called a husbandman. And he has a vineyard. You know what a vineyard is, right? Now, here's something fiction different. Verse 21. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. Well, hang on. Adam and Eve ate of the grapes. They didn't get drunk. Adam, Cain, Abel, Seth, all these. There's no mention of anybody getting drunk by eating grapes. See the difference, the change? After the flood, that curse is on the earth. Noah's out there eating grapes, and he didn't realize they'd been out in the sun. What? Remember, we didn't have four seasons. Now we got four seasons, and they done run on the vine. Noah's out there, and he's getting a little... First time wine is mentioned right here. Strong drink, whatever. Now, let's look at, look at verse number 26. Verse 26. God talking, he said, blessed be the Lord God of who? Shem. Y'all remember who Shem is? That's where the Jews come from. Blessed be the Lord. Now, people talk about, the white man thinks he's the superior race. I got news for you. The Jews are the superior race. Tell that to the news media. Have you ever on television, any news channel, even Fox News, everybody they have on hates the Jews. Why? Because they're God's chosen favorite people. How's that for racism? Now watch this. Watch this. God is no respecter of persons. God is a respecter of nations. Anybody that wants to be saved, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved, no matter what nationality you are. No respect of persons, but as far as nations go, God has his favor. Like it, lump it, bump it, jump it, whatever, but that's in the Bible. And this is where people, you know, Blessed be the Lord God of who? Shem. And Canaan shall be his servant. Watch verse 27. Y'all ready? Boy, I love the Bible. God shall enlarge Japheth. Who's Japheth? Let me show you something. God shall enlarge Japheth. Where'd Japheth go? Europe. We just talked about it Sunday. There was a bunch of Japhethites came across the water to a new land and was enlarged. Stay in your seat, don't get excited. The Bible is true. God says, I will enlarge Japheth. Now, watch this one. Y'all ain't ready. What I tell you about the Indians a while ago, which one of those three boys those Indians belong to? Where'd I go? There we go. Wrong one. Shem. Middle East, Shemites. All right, look here. God shall enlarge Japheth. We came over to America, and Japheth has been enlarged. And he, Japheth, shall dwell in the tents of who? Who was here when we got here? Your Bible. There ain't a soul in this world that can talk me out of believing that. Is that not what happened? We came over here and dwelt in the tents of Shem. The American Indians are already here. And Canaan shall be his servant. And of course, 28, Noah lived after the flood 350 years and so on and so forth. Noah actually, all the days of Noah were 950 years and he died. And then chapter 10, you'll have, there's where you get what I just told you about all these nations. You can read there. They're not only just people, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Yes, they're people, but their seed, their children, became nations. How do I know that? Well, look at here. Let me show you just one of them real quick. 10:1, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and so on and so forth, and all these names that I care not to pronounce. Verse 5, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their what? Nations. So when people, you look at this, people say, well, God's no respecter of person. That's true. He is no respecter of person. Anybody, no matter what race you are, can be saved. Amen? Amen. But God has his choice nations. You can't get around it. Which one did he send his son through? Shem. Is that fair? That ain't fair. Why couldn't he send it through Japheth and we could have, you know, had the Messiah come through our line? God says, I'm God. I do what I want to do. And I'm sending him through Shem. Because I like that nation. You imagine getting on television and talking about this right here. People would, man, they'd pull their hair out. Yeah, you'd have to put them in a rubber room so they wouldn't beat their head up against the wall. Now, what time? I got just a few minutes. Let me get you this real quick. Genesis 11. Y'all remember what happened in Genesis 11? Genesis 11, real quick. The Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, you know the story. We've talked about it. We talked about it when we were talking about the book of Revelation. I think we talked about it when we were studying the book of Daniel. Verse 1, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick, burn thoroughly, and the brick, stone, slime, da da da. Verse 4, and they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad among the face of the whole earth. Verse 5, the Lord God came down to see the city and the tower which the children and men had built. The Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, us, watch, let us go down, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three of them. Let us go down and confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it's called Babel. Now, you get to Revelation, it's called Babylon. It's in the land of Shinar. It's over there round about Iraq, where all of that stuff's going on. Isn't that odd? Anyway, you know the story here. Everybody's together. Everybody's one. Now, in 10, we found out Shem, Ham, Japheth, how they all is. Now, divided races. Now we're dividing languages. All the people's one. They're building a tower up to God. They're going to overthrow God. God says, we'll just see about that. He comes down, makes everybody speak a different language. They can't communicate. So it pretty well shuts the whole progress down. So everybody that started speaking French gathered up over here and says, hey, I can understand you. Let's get together over here and let's go. And the people over here speaking Spanish, they all gathered up, say, hey, we can understand one another. You know, let's gather up over here. You see what's happening? God is. Now, this is something else you're not ready for. God never intended everybody to get together. Anytime people get together as a whole like that, trouble happens. God says, I want to scatter you. Separate. Why? So you can find God. For you find me. Find salvation. You get together like that and you're wanting to build a tower and overthrow. That's what the devil tried to do. And I'm sure not going to let y'all do it. He goes down, confounds their language. Everybody separates. And there again, it's what you start to see. Now, in France, it's called the European Parliamentary Building. And it looks like this. It looks unfinished. Now, you know who meets in here? The United Nations. In Genesis 11, the United Nations met. They got in trouble because they started trying to overthrow God. The United Nations meet here. You know, when the United Nations started meeting here, we took prayer to school. God's no longer in the classroom. Amen. You know what they do? Y'all ever seen them? Y'all ever seen them in these UN meetings? You say, everybody speaks different languages. They put the little headphones on. You ever seen them? Everybody's got headphones on. And they're hearing. Everybody is able to hear. Babylon, Revelation. It's coming full circle. We're going back to, and God says, I told y'all to separate. Has nothing to do with racism. Has to do with nationalities. God says, stay where I put you. People don't like to hear that. Because the whole message of the day, oh, let's all get together and let's all just love one another. Yes, you're supposed to love everybody, you know, but let's all get together. Well, what happens when everybody gets together? We get in trouble. And God has to come down and, but this time when he comes down to fix it, there'll be no stone left unturned. Amen. And that's something. Let me give you this. I know it's time to go. But I'm telling you, these covenants are just, anyway, let me give you this. Deuteronomy 32, verse 7 and 8. Remember the days of old. That's what we just did. Consider the years of many generations. That's what we just did. Ask thy father, he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. when the Most High, highest capitalized, Most High, divided, not get together, divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people. Watch this. He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. How many tribes of Israel? 12 tribes of Israel, right? You know how many world boundaries there are separated by water on this whole earth? There's 12. Central America, North America, South America, Europe, Australia, Antarctica, Africa, Asia, Greenland, New Zealand. 12 of them. God separated us by water. Isn't that something? Most people don't like that. Well, hallelujah. Isn't that just odd? These covenants, by the number of the children of Israel, 12 nations or 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, 12 boundaries separated by water. And we're still trying to get together. We got a UN building in New York. We got a United Nations in France. We got, you know, and they all get together. They have this, what is it, G20 summit or G-something summit, and everybody gets together, and all the nations get together, and we're, you know what they're doing? Now, they don't say this, but you know what they're doing? Trying to overthrow God.